Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Obituary and death notices from the Odessa American for Saturday. Jeremy Rail, age 81, went to meet his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the farm in Gardendale on August 24th, left to cherish his memory are daughters Charmaine Shaw and Valerie Stevens and husband Preston, sisters Carol Rail and Judy Farley, a nephew, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his wife Laurie, grandchildren Shay and Ryan, brother-in-law Ed Farley, and niece Susan. Jerome was born to Ben and Genevieve Rail in Winona, Minnesota. They preceded him in death. Services were held Saturday, August 28th at La Paz Memorial Funeral Home in Odessa, Texas. Pastor Matt Hensley officiated. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to Mayhill Baptist Church, P.O. Box 166, Mayhill, New Mexico, 88339. Gilbert Alarcón Marquez, 66, died Sunday, August 22nd, in Odessa. Services are pending with Odessa Funeral Home of Odessa. Angel Michelle Schumpert Morgan, 48, died Wednesday, August 25th, in Midland. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Salvador Natividad, 81, died Monday, August 23rd, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Luz Armida Ocon, 53, died Friday, August 27th, in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Odessa American for Sunday, August 29th. Athletics Hall of Fame honorees named. Event is inaugural class of Odessa sports legends. Legends in football, baseball, basketball, golf, and track comprise the inaugural class of the Odessa Athletics Hall of Fame. Odessa American publisher Patrick Canty said the Hall of Fame Selection Committee, composed of newspaper staff and community members, reviewed more than 100 nominations from the community and selected the following individuals to be inducted October 14th at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Paul Chavez, Odessa College golf coach. Johnny Gentry, deceased, former Ector High School track star. Julian Presley, legendary baseball coach at Odessa High School and Odessa College. Angela Brazil Smith, former Permian High School Texas Tech University and WNBA basketball star. John Wilkins, legendary Permian High School football coach and former Ector County Independent School District athletic director. Roy Williams, football standout for Permian High School, the University of Texas, and the NFL. We are so excited to announce this inaugural class, Canty said. These individuals are true examples of why the sports landscape in Odessa is so special, so rich, and diverse. The Hall of Fame Selection Committee was simply blown away by the number and quality of nominations from this community. We wish we could induct all the nominees into this year's Hall of Fame class, but that would result in an induction ceremony that would last for days. Canty stressed that all nominations not selected this year will be carried over into future years for consideration. The Odessa Athletics Hall of Fame is presented by the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center and is a community celebration organized by the Odessa American and the Texas Press Association. Canty noted that ticket sales information for the event will be coming in about a week. Flaring hubbub stirs heat. Energy Industry Clashes with Environmentalists Over Fiery Issue by Bob Campbell. With energy spokesmen and critics facing off in a red-hot debate, oil field flaring is a flashpoint, with oil producers taking steps to curb it and naysayers calling it a symbol of the industry's harmful effect on the environment. The Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners Association, TIPRO, says new technology has lowered methane intensity in the Permian Basin by 70% in the past 8 years. Marvin Nash, co-founder of the Encore Green Environmental Company in Cheyenne, Wyoming, says natural gas byproduct flames spouting from flare stacks on the tops of oil wells make good graphics for opponents who claim the smoke is a big contributor to global warming. For most people who protest, complain, or demand, their end game is the demise of fossil fuel, Nash said. There isn't a solution for them till you completely stop drilling operations. What they do with flyovers and infrared photos is create the narrative that the energy industry is destroying the environment. Emissions from motor vehicles, jet airplanes, and factories in China and third world countries are more damaging than flaring, but I don't see any of those people wanting to drive a covered wagon for the rest of their lives. Nash said Special Presidential Envoy for Climate John Kerry, a former U.S. Secretary of State and senator from Massachusetts, has more emissions from his private jet than some of the wells do flaring gas. The environmentalists see a roughneck with his steel-toed boots, fire-retardant shirt and hard hat, driving his jacked-up pickup and making $130,000 a year, and they say, "My gosh, he is dirty, he is uneducated, and this and that," he said. "But he's paying taxes, sending his kids to college, and giving up half his life to get the energy out of the ground that we all take for granted. Is there flare gas? Yes, there is. My company has 3 permits in Wyoming, and take it as an energy source for clean water to grow grass." Odessa oilman Kirk Edwards said great progress has been made with vapor recovery units on tank batteries and gas lines laid by such companies as DCP Midstream and the Energy Transfer Company to catch the gas at wells and move it to market on the Gulf Coast. Each line cost $1 billion and took over a year to build, and the permitting on ranches and across the state wasn't easy, said Edwards, who explained that the lines should be extended to every flaring well. From 2017 to 19, he said, wells were being drilled so fast that there was no immediate access to gas lines, which caused a lot of flaring. Since 2019, many new pipelines have been built, and that has alleviated the problem, Edwards said. There is no reason now why a new shale well doesn't have that gas going into a market immediately. He said the worst flaring is in the North Dakota oil fields that don't have gas lines. Virginia Palacios of Laredo, executive director of a consumer protection group called Commission Shift that wants to reform the oil and gas regulating Texas Railroad Commission, said the commission's claim of increased vigilance is unfounded. When the Earthworks environmental group in Austin said 84% of the Permian Basin's flaring gas was unpermitted by the Railroad Commission, the commission responded by saying 69% of the flares in Texas were unpermitted, Palacios said. So even the Railroad Commission admits it is not preventing most operators from flaring, which can release volatile organic compounds and other harmful substances associated with preterm births and respiratory conditions. Discounting the RRC's recent assertion that it is issuing flaring permits for shorter durations and smaller volumes, she said, "We can see from the Earthworks report that the RRC's changes in permitting practices don't mean anything if they aren't following up with appropriate monitoring." We need better monitoring and enforcement, Palacios said. the Railroad Commission should be issuing more violations to companies that are not complying with their permits. TIPRO President Ed Longenecker said from Austin that there has been a huge emphasis on flaring from a regulatory standpoint by the Railroad Commission and from within the industry, driving a number of initiatives to reduce flaring and its intensity. The data reflects the emphasis the industry is putting on this through best practices and investments in greenhouse mitigating technology, Longenecker said. Oil and gas production grew 66% and 96% between 1990 and 2019, while emissions from U.S. energy production declined by 17%, and methane intensity in the Permian Basin has been cut by 70% in the last 8 years. He said operators and energy associations have formed the Texas Methane and Flaring Commission to address the issue, and the environmental partnership comprising companies throughout the nation has joined the effort. Longenecker said the industry has invested $300 billion in the past 20 years in pipelines, along with such mitigating technologies as leak detectors and repair programs. There's been a concerted effort to replace high-bleed pneumatic controllers, he said. Natural gas is a valuable product, and the same critics who attack us are standing in the way of energy companies trying to build out new pipelines. The Biden administration has dropped its opposition to the Nord Stream 2 pipeline and given Russia its blessing to tighten the grip on European natural gas markets. Tim Tarpley, Senior Vice President for Governmental Affairs at the Energy Workforce and Technology Council in Houston, said the advances of technology in pipelines should get to a point where flaring is rare. A lot of companies are involved in this technology in places like the Permian Basin, Tarpley said. Instead of flaring gas, which is a waste of energy, it's a great opportunity to create energy. Demand went way down during COVID, but once production starts to peak again, we may start seeing pipelines be an important part of the equation to get gas to the Gulf Coast. If we can't use it all domestically, we could export it to allies like India and Japan, who need gas desperately, rather than having them get it from Russia and other geopolitical rivals. Local news roundup. Fall English classes. Permian Basin Adult Literacy Center is currently enrolling for the fall English classes. Classes are available online and in person with various days and times available beginning Monday at PBAL, 1709 West Wall Street in Midland. In-person classes are also available from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. Tuesdays starting August 31st at Odessa Bible Church, 3901 Penbrook Street, and at First Church of the Nazarene, 1400 South Lancaster Street, Big Spring. The last day for students to enroll is September 9th. Classes are open to adults 18 years of age and older. Students are required to pay a once-yearly enrollment fee of $25. To enroll, or for more information, call 432-682-9693, extension 404. Email adejong@pbalc.org or visit pbalc.org. La Margarita Mexican Food Restaurant has scheduled an appreciation breakfast for all first responders in the community from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Wednesday at La Margarita Festival Grounds, 1257 West Monahan Street. All local first responders and law enforcement officers are invited. Odessa College has scheduled its 75th anniversary celebration Wednesday on the OC campus. A breakfast and mixer will take place at 9 a.m. on the LRC lawn. Wood Health Sciences Building groundbreaking ceremony at 10 a.m. at the administration parking lot. Pep rally at 11 a.m. at the amphitheater. Campus open house with tours and demonstration from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. in various locations. The Little River Band concert has been postponed to Wednesday, June 1, 2022, at the Ector Theater, 500 North Texas Avenue. Ticket information coming soon. High Sky Wing Commemorative Air Force has scheduled a 2021 air show September 11th through the 12th. Gates open at 9 a.m. The event will also include a car show and shine. Admission is free. Upgrades to Fighter Squadron Chalet, Flightline Chalet seating, and VIP parking are available for purchase. Obituaries and death notices from the Odessa American for Sunday. A celebration of life memorial service will be held for Emil Frederick Beck at 11 a.m. on Saturday, September 4th at First Presbyterian Church in Odessa. Pastor Cheryl Homsher will officiate. Emil was 96 years old when he died on December 30th, 2020. A graveside service was held at Sunset Memorial Gardens Cemetery on January 2nd, 2021. At 3 p.m. due to COVID considerations, until a service could be held at his beloved church of 70 years, First Presbyterian Church of Odessa. Emil is preceded in death by his beloved wife, Norma Dale Beck, by his sister, Eloise Hodapp, and her husband, Harold, by his mother and father, Hertha Clara and Emil Frederick Beck II, by his mother and father-in-law, Emma and Martin Reagan, by his maternal grandparents, Catherine and Herman Willig, and by his maternal grandparents, Therese, Rose, R. Helger, and Emil Frederick Beck. Emil is survived by his four children and their spouses, Karen Ayad, Janine and husband Steve Briley, Reagan and wife Tracy Beck, and Leslie and husband Roger Watkins, and by his 11 grandchildren, and one great-grandson, 3 step-grandchildren, 6 step-great-grandchildren, and 1 step-great-great-granddaughter. Emil's full obituary and updated arrangements can be found at www.sunsetodessa.com. Dubelsa Villarreal Salinas, 87, of Odessa, passed away Saturday, August 21st. Visitation will be 5 to 9 p.m., Rosary 7 p.m. on Thursday, September 2nd, at Martinez Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, September 3rd, at St. Anthony Catholic Church, with Father Chavez officiating. Burial will follow at Rose Hill Cemetery. Reception following burial at El Gallo Event Center in Odessa. Dubelsa Villarreal Salinas was born December 21, 1934, in Aguadaleguas, Nuevo León, to Virginia G. Villarreal and Leopoldo Villarreal. She was preceded in death by her father and mother, son Gustavo Salinas, husband Guillermo P. Salinas, and son Guillermo Salinas, Jr. She is survived by her daughter, Mary Salinas Martinez, and husband, Gennaro, daughter, Soyla Salinas Juarez, and husband, Lawrence, daughter, Sandra Salinas Hernandez, and husband, Johnny, daughter, Sophia Salinas Elmore, and husband, Everett, and son, Gabriel Salinas, 16 grandchildren and 23 great-grandchildren. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests donations to St. Anthony Catholic Church in Odessa. Johnny Craig Stillwell went to be with the Lord on Tuesday, August 24th. Craig was born May 9, 1957, in Brownfield, Texas, to Johnny and Billy Stillwell. He was preceded in death by his grandparents, his parents, and his sister Carolyn Goodman. Craig is survived by his wife, Brenda Stillwell, his daughter, Julie Stinson, sons Jeff Stillwell and wife, Destiny, Justin Stillwell and wife, Jennifer, and Brian Hoquette and wife, Lindsay. His grandchildren. A memorial service will be held at Crossroads Fellowship to celebrate his life. The service is scheduled for 10:30 a.m. on Monday, August 30th. Condolences may be sent to the family online at acreswestfuneral.com. Rebecca Becky Prieto, 72, passed away on August 20th at Medical Center Hospital in Odessa. Rebecca was born on May 6, 1949, in Pecos, Texas, to Donaciano and Petra Lara. She is preceded in death by various family members and most recently her son-in-law, Charlie Vasquez, Jr. Rebecca is survived by her husband, Manuel Prieto, daughters Roxanne Vasquez and Sandra Prieto of Odessa. Through the years, she gained another daughter, Maria Gonzalez, and husband Ralph of Midland, her beloved and treasured grandkids. Visitation is scheduled for Monday, August 30th from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. with rosary at 7 p.m. at Martinez Funeral Home. A funeral service will be held at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church in Odessa on Tuesday, August 31st at 10 a.m., with burial to follow at Ector County Cemetery. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Martinez Funeral Home. Isla Ray Shorty Stanford of Kermit died on August 27th at the age of 78. Her passing was a grand birthday gift as she was born on the same date, 1943, in Balmoray, Texas, to James Morris Layton and Bobby Pauline Stevens. She is survived by two children, Pamela Denise Stanford Glander of San Angelo and Frederick Blake Stanford, daughter-in-law Melanie Carol Taylor Stanford of Omaha, Nebraska. Shorty is also survived by six grandchildren, four great-grandchildren, sister Patsy Layton, brother Robert Lee Stanford and wife Sue, nephews and nieces. She was preceded in death by her husband Fred, her sister Gwyneth Layton Stanford and husband Billy, son-in-law Michael Glander. Services will be held at 2 p.m. Tuesday, August 31st at Harper Funeral Home in San Angelo. In lieu of flowers, please make donations to the Alzheimer's Foundation of America, alzfdn.org/support-us/donate. Family and friends may share condolences and sign the online register at www.harper-funeralhome.com. Victor Arredondo, 59, died Tuesday, August 24th in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Donnie Leon Brown, 65, of Odessa, died Friday, August 20th in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Wednesday, September 1st, at Sunset Memorial Garden Cemetery. Reverend Jimmy Braswell is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Javier Bernal Duran, 37, died Saturday, August 21st, in Three Rivers, Texas. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery, Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. James Daniel Everett, 80, died Monday, August 23rd in Odessa. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Heat exhaustion and heat stroke. To your good health for Saturday. Dear Dr. Roach, what is heat stroke? I exercised a lot in the heat yesterday, and today I feel dizzy and nauseated, even though it isn't as hot as yesterday. Dr. Roach writes, heat stroke and heat exhaustion have similar names, but are different conditions. People who exercise in conditions of high heat and humidity are at risk for heat exhaustion. Symptoms include profuse sweating, dizziness, nausea, muscle cramps, and headache. Treatment is to stop exercising, get someplace cool, and sip some fluids. Without treatment, heat exhaustion can lead to heat stroke, although you don't need to exercise to get heat stroke. The hallmark of heat stroke is a very high body temperature, 103 Fahrenheit. There may not be any sweating at all, and the skin is hot and red. Confusion is a dangerous symptom. Heat stroke is a medical emergency. Call 911. In the emergency room or hospital, we find the fastest way of cooling someone down is room temperature or warm water sprayed all over a person's body, no clothes, with immense fans blowing on the moist skin. Immersing a person in cold water is not effective. The warm water keeps a high degree of blood flow to the skin, allowing the body to cool rapidly. Ice-cold water constricts blood vessels, which makes heat transfer less effective. Fluids need to be individualized based on careful patient monitoring.
Dad encourages teen to drink before heading to college. Dear Abby, my parents have been divorced since I was little, but I still visit Dad often, especially now that I'm fully vaccinated. What's causing the problem is I am leaving for my first year of college. Dad has been offering me alcohol while I'm at his house. I would be lying if I said I have never accepted a drink when he offered one, mainly out of curiosity. My mom, however, fervently believes I shouldn't touch alcohol until I'm 21. I'm 19 now. I don't want to disappoint her because she's very strong in her opinions about it. But I also don't want my first alcohol experience to happen states away from either parent while I'm at college. Dad shares this sentiment, but he pushes me to drink more often than I am comfortable with. Thankfully, when I tell him, he'll stop for the night. I'm not sure which of my parents' sides I should take. Don't drink at all to make Mom happy, or drink with Dad to try and hide it to avoid the consequences. I know hiding things isn't good. Mom will eventually find out. But I think it's ridiculous to swear off drinking because before going to college, where alcohol is around every corner. What do you think? Signed, Anxious about alcohol in Georgia. Dear Anxious, in the state of Georgia, it's against the law for someone under the age of 21 to consume alcohol. By pressing you to drink, your father is breaking the law. Some parents feel that allowing a minor to drink at home takes the mystery out of it for their teenager. The problem is, in some young people, it creates an appetite for alcohol that can lead to lifelong drinking problems. We have all read about the tragic consequences of binge drinking among some college students. Listen to your mother. She's right, and your father is misguided. Dear Abby, I'm married to a wonderful, caring man who is normally pretty sensitive and savvy. I work long hours. Because Carl is retired, he does most of the cooking, for which I am grateful. What he does not do is share the TV. When I come home after a tough day at the office from a job filled with heavy responsibilities, he expects me to watch political YouTube videos with him. If it's not that, then it's woodworking or some other hobby of his. I've tried going into another room and watching TV there, but if I do, Carl gets his hurt feelings. If I play on my phone, then I'm not attentive enough. I love him, but I have to have some time to just relax and unwind from the load I carry. He won't watch what I want to watch, ever. It has to be his way or nothing. I can't believe that in 2021, I have this issue with a man. Please help. Signed, Can't Win in Arkansas. Dear Can't Win, I will try. Your husband may be retired, but he's acting like a spoiled child. Draw the line and tell him you need a specific amount of time to unwind and concentrate on your interests. If that means he has to accept your leaving the room to watch something that interests you, he's going to have to adjust. If he pouts, let him, and suggest the two of you save co-viewing for weekends.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.